White Rocket Entertainment.
We don't have a name for this show yet, and it's just going to be an intermediate sort of thing where I'll have various guests on, probably different ones every episode. It all remains to be worked out yet because we're still months away from the 2018 World Cup in Russia, but I wanted to go ahead and do a quick show solo today just talking about the draw, because today was the draw for the eight groups A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H. And for those that don't keep up with it, don't know, each continent more or less has its own what they call federation. The United States is in CONCACAF, which is basically North America and Central America and the Caribbean. And, Europe has UEFA. South America has what they call CONMEBOL, which is weird, and so on. And so each of those federations is allowed a certain predetermined number of teams that get into the 32 team field next year in Russia. Now, they use various formulas to determine how many teams each federation gets into the World Cup. Based on their previous success, number of teams, and a bunch of other factors like that. So, for example, well, there are others you can get in, like through, you know, like they'll have a wild card kind of playoff between two federations, for example. But Europe obviously gets a bunch of teams in. CONCACAF usually only gets maybe three, maybe four if things bounce their way. So they had the draw today to determine which teams will be playing each other in round-robin groups of four. So, for example, in Group A, the four teams will play 1 versus 2, 3 versus 4, and then 1 versus 3, 2 versus 4, and then 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. You get the idea, right? That's how it works. And then generally, the top two teams from each of those groups advance on to the knockout phase. Now, this is what people always get hung up on. They're like, oh, you can have ties in soccer. Well, in the round robin phase, of course you can have ties because a tie gives you 1 point. A win gives you 3 points. A loss gives you 0 points. So there's no problem with having a tie because a tie means you got a little bit of points, but not nearly as many as a win. And you're going to be in guarantee. See, what the round robin style does is it makes sure every team that qualifies and travels all the way to the host country gets to play at least 3 games. So the worst, sorriest team in this World Cup will still get to play 3 big games. But if you finish in the top two in your group, you get to go on to the knockout phase where there will be no ties, there's extra time, and then if necessary, a shootout. And, you know, to determine the winner as it's in a sort of an NCAA tournament style bracket, starting out with those 16 first and second place teams. Okay, so that's just how it's going to work going forward. Now, let's briefly talk about who's in and who and where they are, because that was the big determination today, is where each of the teams is going, who they're going to play in that round-robin phase. But I've got to mention, here are some teams that, and countries that are national teams, if you want to say, that did not even qualify. These countries' national teams are staying home and don't even get to go play 1 game, much less 3 or more. The United States. Italy, one of the 3 or 4 greatest, in terms of achievement teams in World Cup history. Winners twice in the 1930s and then 1982 and 2006. That's my second team, along with Scotland. Scotland's not there, which is disappointing to me, but Scotland hasn't qualified since 1998. Scotland always comes this close to qualifying in UEFA, and they always end up finishing third in their group, and so they don't get to go forward in their qualifying group in Europe. And it's because they always get put in as the third-place team behind, like, France and Spain or France and Italy or something. It seems to happen every time. So I'm always disappointed that Scotland doesn't even qualify. The Netherlands are not in. They're a huge team. They've never actually won, but they're sort of the Buffalo Bills or the Minnesota Vikings of the World Cup. They've never won it, but they sure have been there at the end plenty of times. Most recently, I believe, losing to Spain in 2010. And then Chile, who's a fairly, you know, on again, off again, pretty powerful team from South America. So none of those teams are in. But check out this list of teams that are in place of the USA, Italy, Netherlands, and Chile. These are the ones that are in. Saudi Arabia. And this is not their first time. Egypt, Iran, not their first time. Morocco, not their first time. But I mean, Italy's out, Netherlands out, USA out, Morocco is in. Peru, Panama, that's on us. That's on us, US. Panama has our spot. That's just a fact. And I believe it's their first time ever. Tunisia, Senegal, and everybody's darling, Iceland. Iceland has a population about the size of Rhode Island on a good day. Probably lower than that. And yet, probably the size of, like, North Dakota. Maybe lower than that. Maybe Wyoming. Maybe lower than that. And yet, Iceland is in. Now, you know, when the World Cup rolls around next summer, I will root for Iceland among certain other teams that I, you know, halfway like. But right now, I'm just jealous of them. I got no Iceland love right now. You know, come next summer when it's totally sunk in that the U.S. is not in, Italy's not in, Scotland's not in, and all I've got left is Argentina among my pet teams, right? Argentina's the only one that got in. They barely got in. Come next summer when the World Cup starts, man, I'll be cheering Iceland on like crazy. But for right now, dang it, Iceland. Why did you get in and all my teams not? It just makes me mad. So, looking at the groups, let me run through the groups real fast and we'll very quickly analyze just a little bit about what to expect from each one. And of course, when you analyze a World Cup on selection day, you have to bear in mind that the evidence you're bringing to the table to analyze them is stuff where you're looking back over their last year of play, how they did in qualifying, and sort of their national history and character. That's one of the things I actually really like about World Cup soccer and national team play, is that a team can be hot coming into the World Cup, but if they don't have much history, it's rare that they really can sustain a consistent high level of play through a World Cup. In other words, you know, you don't. It's kind of like the Cinderella teams in the NCAA tournament, right? You're gonna get like a George Mason. You're gonna get a Valpo. You know, you're gonna get a Gonzaga. You're going to get these teams that kind of come out of nowhere and make a run to the Final Four. And they make big upsets along the way. But generally what happens is, even if they make it to the final, they generally don't win. I'm talking about in basketball, right? In college basketball, because I'm comparing the two. In college basketball, these Cinderellas that make this sudden rearing up charge deep into the tournament, They make everybody happy. They're a fun story, but they almost never win, right? And usually they don't even make it to the Final Four or even the national championship game. They'll make it to the Elite Eight, maybe the Final Four, and that's about it. They'll pull a couple of big upsets along the way, and that'll be it. And that's pretty much the way the World Cup is too. You're going to see maybe, let me look, you might see a Uruguay. You might see a Morocco. You might see an Australia. You might see a Nigeria. You might see Serbia or Costa Rica or South Korea. You know, Colombia. You might see one of these teams make a run into the, you know, deep into the elimination rounds. But when it's all said and done, Spain, France, well, I would have said Italy, but Germany, Brazil, you know, those are the ones that are going to be there at the very end. So, you know, you can look at what they're doing now. You can look how they're playing now, how they've played in qualification. You can look at all that. But history really plays into it, too. And it's a sport that over a long period of time really tends to favor the big programs, the depth, the history, the culture. That seems to be the way that it works out, right? Because, I mean, again, every year you have some country that whose team makes a run, and then at the end, up Brazil, up Germany, you know? So, I don't really see a group of death here. Let's run through them. Group A, Russia as the host starts out in Group A. And man, they got something. If you could have drawn up a draw for Russia to get in the second round, and you as a host, you want to get in the second round. Hosts pretty much always get in the second round. I can't remember if South Africa in 2000. When was South Africa? 14? No, there was. It was in. I'm kind of blanking out. I think South Africa was 2010. Yeah. So, yeah, six was Germany. The hosts in 2006 were Germany. The hosts in 2010 were South Africa. The hosts in 2014. Why am I blanking out on that? It was a European country, I'm pretty sure, but I can't remember who it was now. I'm just blanking out because I know it as well as I know anything. But anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, usually the host at least makes it to the second round. Even the United States in 1994, when we hosted, made it to the second round by the hardest. We did in a where we immediately ran into Brazil, and that was the end of it. Though we played them very tough. So Russia couldn't have come up with a better draw than this, being with Uruguay, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. You got to think that Russia can at least beat Saudi Arabia, maybe Egypt, maybe get in second place. We'll see what happens. They'll be playing at home. That helps. Group B is a fairly tough group. You have it's the Iberian group. We'll call this the group of Gibraltar because you have Portugal, Spain, Iran as the outlier, and Morocco, right? So you got Portugal, Spain, and Morocco all right there, North Africa and southwestern Europe. More about that in a minute. But Spain and Portugal have to like their chances there, right? And that'll be the best game when they play each other in that group. Group C, France, Peru, Denmark, and Australia. I'll say this. France is hot or cold. France is one of those teams that one year they lose. Well, one year they don't even qualify. 94, France didn't even qualify. 98, they won the whole thing. 02, they got knocked out in the first round. Senegal beat them, I believe it was. 06, they made it to the finals. Right? So France really does run hot or cold. You either get the France that's a powerhouse on a par with Germany, or you get a France that's hollow, a joke. Peru's kind of a mystery. There's even some talk they would get kicked out for some scandal going on back there. Honestly, Denmark is usually tougher than you'd think. I haven't paid much attention to this year's Denmark team, but I'm just going to say, my understanding is they're not what they have been, maybe, but Denmark surprises sometimes. They usually can play pretty good defense, and they can surprise you. I believe they beat Brazil a few years ago in the World Cup. And Australia is always a wild card. I mean, Australia is almost the definition of a wild card. You know, oftentimes they'll get in through the wild card with the Oceania playoff with CONCACAF or somebody. And then they come in and they're athletic. They got a lot of spirit. They're good teamwork. They can knock you off. It's still a mystery why they wear yellow and green, though. Your flag is not yellow and green, Australia. What is that? Group D. This is usually the group of death. It's not bad this time. It's a fairly formidable group. There may not be a full-blown group of death, but this is not a bad group. You have Argentina, Croatia, Iceland, and Nigeria. So even the kind of weak team, Iceland, is pretty good. Nigeria usually fields a halfway decent team. They don't really, they're not a Final Four team ever, but they can cause other teams a lot of problems, right? They're one of those teams that has a lot of speed, don't always play a lot of discipline, but they can athletic you to death. So watch out for Nigeria. Argentina, of course, they are one of those blue bloods of the sport, and they're going to find a way. They barely qualified. But, you know, think about Mexico in 2014. Mexico, I mean, they squeaked in by the hardest into qualification in the World Cup. And once they got there, they were really good. They did really well, relatively speaking, you know, to what everybody expected. So I think Argentina is the same way. I think Argentina barely got in, but it's going to come down to Argentina and Croatia. Always a good, solid, dependable team is Croatia. So that's a very solid group top to bottom. Group E, this is Brazil's group, and you got to respect Brazil. Brazil has two modes in round robin play. There's the Brazil that ties somebody, maybe loses a game occasionally to the shock of everybody. You know, this is a Brazil that looks like they're in disarray. There's a lot of criticism of the coach and like, oh, Brazil's not what they used to be, but they somehow get on to the second round anyway. And then there's the Brazil that just comes in like, you know, like the Dallas Cowboys amid a bunch of high school teams and just bulldozes everybody. So Brazil qualified, I think, very easily this year. They didn't have any problem. They may have even won CONMEBOL, I'm not sure. But we'll see. Because, again, you're looking at years in the past, the current year, and then you're trying to project into next year. And you can't always be, you know, accurate on what's going to happen that far in the future. So you just kind of, with Brazil, have to say they're Brazil. So they're going to have to show me they're not Brazil, quote unquote. Switzerland is a team that, like, they're like Denmark. They've had their years where they play really good defense. They've never been a big offensive team, but they've had their years where they play really. In fact, I think a few years ago, Switzerland went through an entire round robin play and never gave up a goal. They never conceded a single goal. But you know what? They didn't get out of the first round. You're like, well, if you never let the other team score against you, how do you never, how do you not get out of the first round? They also never scored a goal. Every game Switzerland played that year, I believe, was 0-0. And so they got 3 points for three ties, and they finished third, and they were out. That was pretty amazing. I never heard anybody talk about that, but that's pretty amazing. Costa Rica made a good run last time, and we know they're a tough team, firsthand from playing the U.S. And Serbia is usually a fairly good team as well. So Group E is not a slouch either. Brazil has, you know, those are three teams Brazil should beat, but it's not like Russia's group where they, if you swapped Russia and Brazil, Brazil wouldn't lose a point. They'd go through with 9 points, three wins, and Russia probably wouldn't get out of the group. So it worked out very well for Russia, but Brazil should still not have that big of a problem. Three groups to go. Group F is Germany's group, but there's Mexico as the second team in that group. And there, Mexico never really does what we kind of hope they will. You know, I know some Americans look at Mexico as the big rival, the arch enemy, and they don't want Mexico to do anything at all. I like Mexico and I want them to do well. I don't want them to beat us, but I want them to do well because they're our other, you know, they're our other big team in this federation. So I want Mexico to do well. I like Mexico. And I don't like some of their fans, but I like Mexico as a team. But they never quite get as far as you think they can go. Mexico, a lot of the time, Mexico plays like a a discount version of Argentina. You know, in other words, they can be really good, but they fall short. And so I want Mexico to do well, but being in the group with Germany, with Sweden, now this is not the Sweden we've seen in some years past. It's kind of a mediocre Sweden. And then South Korea. Don't sleep on South Korea. South Korea, in terms of what they call, like in England, they call work rate, which we would call maybe work ethic or whatever. South Korea, or the British sometimes call endeavor. That's like a term that means they just get out there and just they're relentless. They may not have the best athletes, but you know they may not have like the star striker that can score on anybody, but they'll go out there. You know, like we think of them like a service academy in college football, you know, or like Princeton in NCAA basketball. They have a good plan and they work, and they can upset a team. I think Group F is better than some think, and I think Germany should win it pretty easily, but Mexico is going to have a time on their hands finishing second. We'll see. Last two. Group G is Belgium's group, but England is in there too. So you got the two European countries, Belgium and England, that both can be pretty tough. England is one of these Jekyll and Hyde teams as well. There are some years England plays very well and lose, and there's years that England plays very poorly and loses. What do those two different things have in common? England loses. They just don't get very far in the World Cup. I don't remember them. I guess you have to go back to 1990 for them getting past the second round, probably. Maybe they got to the third round one year recently, but it's a blur to me. I don't remember it much. England puts a bunch of, if your players are on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, so Argentina usually puts out a couple of 10s. Italy puts out a couple of 10s in defense. Germany puts like, three or four 10s. Brazil sometimes puts 5 10s on the board, you know, aces. England puts a bunch of 7s out there and then works really hard. And that often gets them out of the first round. Sometimes it doesn't. We'll see. I'll cheer for England this time because I'm low on teams to support. But Belgium and England look like the class of this division. Tunisia's been there before. They're not horrible. You'd look at Tunisia and think, Tunisia? Tunisia, really? But they're okay. And then Panama, hey, they got in ahead of us, so they're not terrible. But you got to think Belgium and England. And then finally, Group H. This is a kind of an odd, I don't know what to make of Group H. Poland was a top-tier team qualifying out of UEFA. I've got to think that was a combination of Poland being pretty good and maybe having a favorable qualification group in UEFA. I don't remember. I've looked at it pretty thoroughly, but I can't remember off the top of my head who Poland had to beat out for this spot. But Poland's had their years when they've been very good. They've also had their years they didn't even qualify or were kind of mediocre. We can't say right now how good Poland's going to be come next summer, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this is a group they should get out of. Colombia, they have their moments, right? We saw in the last World Cup, Colombia played very well. And then the other two teams in that group are Senegal and Japan. Japan is another team that they're like a slightly poor man's version of Korea in the sense that they don't have the super stud players, but they work really hard. They've just not quite accomplished as much as South Korea has. Japan is, they're better than the average low-level CONCACAF team. They win the Asian group. Not win it, but they qualify out of it. But I don't look for huge things out of Japan. I hope they do. I like them. I think they're a cool team. I like their uniforms usually. They've had some really cool uniforms over the years. That goes a long way with me. I'm superficial. Senegal has had their moments too. In fact, I think they were the ones that beat France back a few years ago when France were the defending champions, in fact. So Poland has got to be the favorite, but Colombia may be the favorite in this group really when you think about it. But it's kind of a mediocre group. So there you go. There's the 8 groups. Now, like I said, a lot of the time it comes down to how UEFA seeds their groups because, you know, Italy gets left out. I understand. Italy just didn't play as well this year as Italian teams in the past have. I hate it, but that's just, you know, if they don't deserve to be there, they don't deserve to be there. But Italy was in a tougher group. You know, if Italy had been put into a group with, you know, Romania and Bulgaria and, you know, that kind of thing, then they might be there. On the other hand, if you're Italy and you get put in a group with Spain, France, Portugal, you know, something like that, you're going to have a lot tougher time. So the way that they're bunched together, and it tends to happen that way. That's what tends to happen in UEFA, is you get two or three really good teams bunched together and one of them gets knocked out, and then you'll get a group where there's only one halfway decent team, and so two crappy teams will get in. And that's just kind of how it plays out. The big winners, I mean, there's no doubt that Russia is the biggest winner of this draw. And I got to wonder if Putin hacked the fish bowls there on the stage. He was there. He could have done it. But France got a pretty good draw. Peru, Denmark, Australia, they can't complain. I mean, I don't know if they can win that group. They should. I don't know if they can win it with 9 points. But you couldn't have asked for a much better group other than the one Russia's in. Brazil got a pretty decent group. England got a decent group. They just got to hang on against Belgium. And I'll tell you this, if England can pull a draw with Belgium, and the U.S. nearly did, if England can pull out a draw with Belgium, they're in the second round, because all they got left is to get points off Tunisia and Panama. Come on. If you can't do that, England, you don't deserve to be England in the World Cup. And I think Poland has a pretty decent draw because, again, even if Colombia may be slightly better than Poland in Group H, surely they can beat Senegal and Japan. The big losers, really the only big losers in this World Cup draw are the teams that weren't even in the bowls, like USA, Italy, Netherlands, Chile. But I think that maybe Mexico could have had an easier draw. You know, what if it had been Mexico in Group A with Russia, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia instead of Uruguay? That would have been nice. And Switzerland, I think, maybe. Because any team that's halfway decent but gets put in the group with Brazil, I mean, it's almost an automatic loss. So now you got to win everything else. So I feel bad for them. But otherwise, it's a fairly even draw. And I think the other interesting story from this draw, and I'll wrap up with this. This is my last point. The other interesting storyline from this draw is that there are several what I would call natural or geographic rivals with some history, nationality history going on. Egypt, Saudi Arabia is interesting, meeting in the World Cup. Portugal, Spain is interesting. A little Treaty of Tordesillas bowl, going on there. Look it up. Wikipedia is your friend. Treaty of Tordesillas Bowl. And I got to remember that. And Spain-Morocco in that group, right? Because Spain and Morocco, you know, they've had a long-standing relationship there in North Africa with colonization and all that. So, again, I call that the Gibraltar Bowl. It's too bad it's not Portugal, Spain, England, and Morocco, because then it would totally be the Gibraltar group. And if they were all in Group G, the group of Gibraltar, that would be awesome, but you know, close enough. So a couple of others. I would just say Argentina, Nigeria being in the same group. This is like my Auburn friends out there will get this reference. Argentina, Nigeria in the same group is like Auburn, Clemson, right? You're not from the same quote unquote conference, and yet somehow you keep end up playing each other all the time. Argentina and Nigeria end up playing each other more than Argentina's played South American teams, it seems like, or Nigeria's played African teams. So that's just a weird deal. They always seem to play each other. All right, so that's my look at the groups. I guess when we'll do shows going forward, I may get a couple of guests on and we'll do some predictions. But, you know, right now, just off the top of my head, looking at the draw, you got to feel like Brazil and Germany, as always, will be favorites because they're Brazil and Germany, and there's no Italy, there's no Netherlands. So two of the big teams that could have challenged them are not in. So we'll see. It's hard to go against Germany until you really see what Brazil has going on. So, okay, gang, we'll wrap up there. This is me, Van Allen Plexico, as you know, with a look at the 2018 World Cup draw. All right, be sure to check out our other fine White Rocket Entertainment shows, and visit www.plexico.net. You can find the link to the Patreon there. You can be a supporter, and we'll see you guys down the road. I'll have another few shows before we get time for the actual World Cup. So, see you later.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.